101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace. Radio Miraya, Radio Miraya.
All right, good morning to all of you once again. 15 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m., Kulakunasma Leberna Mijamiraya Breakfast Show, broadcasting from the national capital, Juba. It's the last hour of the show, and let's move on right away to our next conversation right here on this edition of the program. And here, the past month of January, there was so much of the upside in both online and also online hate speech and widespread of misinformation. And we saw it fit to have a guest come and talk about the issues of hate speech and misinformation.
And so we have representatives from three vital institutions that work hard to combat hate speech and misinformation in South Sudan. Joining us is Mary Ajith, Project Manager for Journalists for Human Rights. Mary, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have Honorable Atong Majok, who is Chairperson Board of Directors, Media Authority. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Ochaya Jackson is the coordinator for the platform 211 Check. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Well, once again, good morning to you and welcome to Radio Miraya, Radio Miraya Breakfast Show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, let's go right away and understand what hate speech basically means and information. So what are the reasons behind all this? Maybe we start right away with Mary Ajith.
Okay, so I will first start with a caution that hate speech is not free speech. It's not part of the freedom of expression, because what does hate speech mean? It's a communication either in form of speech, writing, whatever message that you share out there that actually demean a certain community. It can be an individual. And as you already mentioned, we have been seeing a lot of such messages in the past few weeks of this new year, whereby South Sudanese start calling names, calling certain communities as not fit to do something, you know. That is all part of hate speech. So whatever that is spread out there that actually discriminate a certain community or individual is hate speech.
All right, thank you. Ochaya, misinformation.
Yes. Well, misinformation basically, this deals with information that is inaccurate and perhaps it has no intention of causing harm to an individual or groups. Even the person who is spreading is doing it maybe unknowingly. And that makes it different from disinformation, whereby the person may have intention to cause harm to an individual or a group of people. So we have seen the rise of such instances these days. You know, when there is, each time there is conflict, there is the rise of misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech around the events that unfold in our society.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about the impact of hate speech and misinformation. Let me give this to Atong and also getting to understand some of the examples of the most existing ones.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me this morning. You know, the impact of misinformation and hate speech always results into conflict. Whether, you know, there's no small conflict and bigger conflict. It always results into a conflict between communities, you know, between different nationalities and, you know, a lot of other examples I can give. But then I can give the recent example of Sudan. You know, people were slaughtered in Sudan, you know, captured on videos, you know, and then sent. You know, and then the information that was, you know, during when these crimes were being committed, you know, there were this information that used, you know, people were trying to call these people, you know. It went into the ears of South Sudanese, and South Sudanese felt like they were humiliated, they were disrespected, you know, their human rights was also, yeah, their human rights was violated. So immediately it resulted into a conflict here in South Sudan between Sudanese and, you know, and South Sudanese going to into the markets, you know. But then the trigger was, we don't say that all these that went to the market were not happy because their people were killed in Sudan or anything else. No. Some of them felt really humiliated. Some thought this is an opportunity, but the fact remained it was that misinformation. You know, it was that disinformation because people were intentionally disinformed about what happened exactly in Sudan. Yeah.
Okay. And now coming to you, Ochaya, you work for 211 Check.
Yeah.
This is a platform that seeks to verify misinformation and disinformation that's circulating online.
Yeah.
What are some of those examples that you came across that were directly linked to especially the Sudan killings and also the recent Eastern Equatoria conflict?
You see, most South Sudanese communities, they are on different platforms, and perhaps some of this thing actually comes at the background. It only manifests in terms of conflicts after something have been done at the background. So when this thing happened in Sudan, actually, there are a lot of misinformation and hate speech toward a certain group, and instead of directing it to the perpetrators, there was a situation of generalization whereby they don't now go specific to people who have done this, but now it has taken another dimension of generalizing the whole situation. So this has brought in negative impact and divisions among people. And some of this incident that happened, it taps into the vulnerability of our psychological mindsets. And it play around our emotions. Then after that, it influences us to make a decision. So because it touches our heart and it affects our thinking, then we tend to make decisions that actually affect the rights of others at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I know Atong mentioned videos. What were some of the other forms that you came across as you monitored the social media?
There were voice clips mm-hmm. around. And all these voice clips, part of those things are manufactured just to cause fear and or panics, by the way. And also to demoralize the people, they seem to feel like they are their opponents, so that they don't also go on offensive, so that they also overcome their fear and actually let them fall prey of the propaganda that they are spreading. So the voice clips came up and actually coming out with a lot of sentiments towards a group they believe to be their opponent or enemy. And that also pushed the other side to take a decision that's also result into a reaction that we have seen,
mm-hmm.
very bad, and it has actually caused despair, by the way.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let me come back to Mary Ajita, getting to understand. Earlier on, you said hate speech is not free speech, but let's talk about normal speech now. And I would like you to make a difference between the normal speech and the hate speech.
Okay. So, you know, when we talk about the freedom of expression, it means that it's already enshrined in the Constitution that every citizen have the right to actually express themselves. But there is that limit when it comes to hate speech, because that expression doesn't allow you to attack another individual. It doesn't allow you to incite violence, you know. So that limitation in terms of not speaking to the point whereby you now go and insult a certain community or an individual is where the limitation is. And it is already provided for in the Media Authority Act, where there are actually consequences for those who are deemed to have issued statements or actually spoke words that target certain communities. So when it comes to hate speech, we have seen also Media Authority issuing a lot of statements in the past 2 months, warning South Sudanese to actually refrain from spreading messages that are hateful, messages that can actually cause social breakdown, social cohesion, messages that can cause conflict among different ethnicities or communities in general.
All right, thank you very much. You just mentioned Media Authority Act. Atong, we're coming to you now.
Yes.
What are some of these laws that are in place and interventions to that criminalize this form of not only sharing, but also those who create, if they can be found, those who create these hate speeches and as well as the disinformation specifically?
Okay. Apart from having the Penal Code of South Sudan, Media Authority clearly criminalize hate speech, incitement to violence. Apart from the Media Authority Act, we also have policies under the Media Authority Act. We have accreditation of journalists, and it talks about what a journalist can do, who can be a journalist. And then again, we also have regulation on print media. We have regulation on broadcasting media. All this have it clear that you are not supposed to incite. If you incite, one, two, three takes place. We are not a court, definitely, yes. But then there are things we do, like Media Authority, if it is clearly confirm that a certain media house or a certain journalist have incited on his writings or on his or her talk shows, then he or she is called to Media Authority one the first time, the second time, the third time. It might lead to accreditation of that journalist being, you know, withdrawn until, you know, he improves. Apart from that, we're also spreading a lot of, messages on hate speech, on incitement to violence. And there was a project with iRadio that had run for almost 2 years, you know, educating not only the public, but even not only the journalists and media houses, but also the public, because we know now we have now the citizen journalism, which is the main problem, because I believe journalists are always, you always know this, when I go this way, it's always wrong and I will face it rough. So definitely you will improve yourself. But then with the citizen journalism, it becomes very, very difficult, because he is not abided by whatever regulations that you have. As long as he has, or he, she has the phone in hand, she takes a video of something, decide to write a different thing, you know, decide to be very creative, changes a voice, takes this voice, mix it with the other video, I mean, connecting it to the other video, so you don't understand. A normal citizen will not understand exactly what is happening. And we have seen that when it was almost time, I mean, a few hours, I guess, from NCA deciding to shut down the social media, because it was very difficult to be controlled, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. And in just about a minute or so, Achaya, could you please tell us about your work as 211 Check and how the public can access verified information? And also, you have a document repository as well. Please brief us on that.
Well, our work at 211 Check, actually, we do information verification and fact-checking. And at the same time, we train civic actors and other stakeholders, including communities, on how to verify information and to have access to accurate information at the same time. So at our repository, we have document that can be accessed by anybody anywhere with the help of internet. So it is a platform where people who want to access archives of document that has been released from public institution, and they want to have access to it, they can go into 211 Checked website where they will access the repository. And for public to access accurate information, first they need to evaluate the sources of any information that they consume and check it against credible media houses like Radio Miraya, iRadio, and any other media houses well established in the country. If none of these media houses have no such information, that should give them a question mark of not believing into that information. So, and also, they have to be critical of any sensational headlines that generate emotion. Mm-hmm. So they have to avoid anything that generate emotion quickly. They have to not to share that information, but reach out to a credible institution, like even our, we have hotline and WhatsApp platform. Mm-hmm. they can get in touch with us, then we can help them to confirm whether it is true or false.
Okay. Thank you so much. And so we shall be getting back to this conversation shortly after the news headlines.
101 FM.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
The UN mission Field Office in Turit has deployed a patrol to Agoro Payam of Magui County to engage with state authorities and humanitarian partners with the aim of de-escalating tensions and ensure the protection of civilians in the area. The Ministry of Health in South Sudan has announced increased efforts to bolster the country's Ebola preparedness in response to the recent outbreak declared in neighboring Uganda last week. The Northern Baragasal State Civil Defense Service is investigating a fire that destroyed over 30 houses in the Muduria 1 residential area of Awil town last Sunday. And some parents and guardians have raised concerns about rising private school tuition fees and the increasing cost of a private education in the country has sparked frustration with many parents saying the financial burden is limiting their children's access to quality schooling. That is it, making headlines on the Mirai Breakfast Show, and let's get back to our conversation.
Wake up. It's time to make a move.
Start your day with The Breakfast Show, the most informative, educative, and entertaining show on Radio Miraya, where the nation's big conversations begin.
All right, good morning to all of you once again. 31 minutes after the half 8 a.m. or 29 more minutes, 28 now more minutes at the top of the hour. And we're talking about hate speech and misinformation. A lot of guests having in the studio right this morning. And so I would like to understand, let me come back to Atong. You spoke about journalists who work in media houses and also citizen journalists. All right, let's talk about a spread of misinformation and hate speech. If this emerges from citizen journalists, so what does the media authority necessarily do?
It becomes very difficult. As I said earlier, we are not regulating them, so it becomes difficult. That's why you see us doing, releasing statements, you know, like what the media authority did, which has mixed us with NCA, you know, because it was the same day that we said, you know, be cautious on, hate speech and incitement to violence, disinformation, and then in the evening, the NCA decided, you know, that we are going off internet. So it becomes very difficult. That's why we're trying to, you know, make the public aware, create a lot of awareness, taking such platforms to, you know, talk about how important it is. Even if you are not a journalist, you are not accredited, but you go through the journalism, code of ethics, you know, because you want to be a journalist. And then the thing is, our people always want to run to certain media houses, not even media houses, but platforms on social media, like, Facebook. They want to go to Hot in Juba, they want to go, because they want to get the information. Is the information credible? No. Is it true that it has happened? No. Will there be, you know, follow up on, okay, this was, how do you call it? They call it breaking news. Mm-hmm. After the breaking news, you should follow and inform us what happened.
Yes.
You broke the news, well and good. But then you inform us later on what happened later.
The development of
the story. Not. They don't. And that's the problem.
Okay.
So with citizen journalists, it becomes very difficult, but we are trying to make them aware. Yeah.
So now as we are concluding the conversation, Mary, how would you advise the public in terms of caution on knowing what information is misinformation, which one is correct, which one is verified, but also in terms of sharing?
Yeah. So I'll first start with the issue of what can be done in case the hate speech is generated from social media. So we recently conducted a survey together with 211 Check, where we established that actually majority of the individuals and media houses contributing towards misinformation and hate speech are the online platforms,
yes,
not the mainstream media. Mainstream media, instead, we established that what they have is a challenge of fact-checking in terms of names of individuals, you know, what right words to use. So in that case, as an institution, since we work towards improving the media environment, we started by ensuring that we conduct trainings with some of these citizen journalists, you know, to let them know what is misinformation, what is disinformation and hate speech. And then the beauty is, it's not like a country can manage to control what is happening on social media, but those social media platforms already have community rules and regulations. So let's say if my account on Facebook, I'm using it to spread hate speech, I can be reported to Facebook, you know,
yes,
and your account can be brought down. So that is one of the beauty, and this is what we want to also let people know, that please, if you see individuals that are using their social media accounts to spread hate speech, to spread disinformation, report these people, and then their accounts can be shut down. That is a bigger step, more than a law, because cybersecurity acts, we have seen,
yes,
what they come with from other countries, the experiences. Those are some of the laws we would cry tomorrow and say, you know, they are infringing on our
rights.
Yes. So, but then when you are reporting individuals, you are reporting based on the fact that they have actually contributed to hateful speeches and inciting violence. And related with the current situation, I would like to call that there is need actually for a peaceful coexistence among South Sudanese. And some of the speeches that were made calling for peaceful coexistence can actually be turned into policies that can guide communities on how they can stay together. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Your final remarks, 1 minute each.
Yes, what I would like to say is that we have to use social media responsibly, and we spread the positive message to our community, and we also mount effort to counter misinformation and disinformation, including hate speech, so that we don't involve into conflict and despair in our society.
Thank you.
Yes, Atong.
Yeah, thank you. You know, just to add into what he said, I want to tell the public outside there that, you know, South Sudan is ours. It's not, we cannot say this will be done by professional journalists or by, you know, those who are administering certain, you know, institutions. Mary have said about, you know, reporting. The public can also be very cautious. You see Atong using her, you know, social media account to spread hate speech and, you know, inciting violence, you report. You know, when you do report, you, there's that three dots, you click,
yeah,
and then you are asked, is it hate speech? Is it against, you know, cultures? Is it,
community,
you know, community standards? And mm-hmm, you click it. When, you know, when an account is reported by 50 or 100 people, you know, Facebook becomes very, you know, questioning that account, and it can be brought down. And if it repeats itself 3 times, 4 times, that person cannot come back with the same account until they change their account, and then they will be followed, you know. And to the journalists and the media houses, we say that, as Mary said earlier, you know, hate speech is not a free speech. It's not also freedom of expression, because when you express yourself to the extent of harming other people, then you are not actually doing it right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Atong. Thank you, Chaya. And thank you, Mary, for joining us on the Moriah Breakfast Show this morning. Inshallah, we'll have you some more times again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Start your day with The Breakfast Show, the most informative, educative, and entertaining show on Radio Miraya, where the nation's big conversations begin.